have a copy of the Word of God, I invite you to turn with us in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 2. Been walking through the Gospel of Mark on Wednesday evenings, as the Lord allows, when we're able to gather and we're able to have a regular service. Just us home folk here at East Alarka. Mark chapter number 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 tonight. Very familiar passage to those of us that are students of the Word of God, that desire to spend time in the Word and spend time in the book. And if you spent much time in church, you've heard somebody preach from this text. And Mark chapter number 2, now I'm going to begin reading verse number 1. Let's stand tonight in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 2, and verse number 1. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought. I know a man who can. Amen? I know a man, and his name is Jesus, who can make a difference in your life if you'll allow him to. The Bible says there in Mark chapter number 2, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And you may be seated tonight. I'll tell you, we know of many individuals that we've encountered in this life. All of us have many acquaintances. All of us have people that we know of that some have made a great impact in our life. Some have left their footprint in our life. And then, of course, we know that there's some that we could have probably done without meeting. Amen. But you know, all that's in God's sovereign plan. And God knows whom that we need to encounter in life. And God knows everything that we're going through. And I'll tell you, I'm thankful that there's a man that we can call upon whose name is Jesus that can give us strength. Amen. I'm thankful for what that He can do for those that might place their faith and their trust in Him. We read once again in the Gospel of Mark of a great miraculous event that took place in the city of Capernaum. The Bible tells us there in verse number 1, and again, He entered into Capernaum after some days. Now, we know that He spent time there. We know that He dwelt there amongst those people. We know that this is the hometown of Simon, whose name was also Peter, who was also called Cephas by the Lord Jesus, and his brother Andrew. And we know that Jesus had a great ministry there. We know that as we studied in chapter 1, He had the opportunity to take that man that was overwhelmed by an unclean spirit, enabled him to be uplifted, enabled him to be healed. Amen. The Bible tells us there and teaches us also about Simon's mother-in-law, how that she was sick and had a fever and could not minister unto those that were in her house. But Jesus came, and by His power, by His ability, He was able to help her overcome that sickness in which she had. We saw there in which that man that had leprosy, Jesus had the ability to cleanse him and allow him to be made whole once again. So we find that Jesus had a time that He had spent there in Capernaum, and it had not been wasted time. Amen. And I'll tell you what, any amount of time you spend with Jesus, it will not be wasted. Any amount of time you spend in prayer, it will not be in vain. Any amount of time you stay in this book, my friend, God will honor it. And we find that God honored those that desired to be close to Jesus. And He had a history there, but we know the Bible says that He left that place that He might go out as it says in verse 45, to begin to publish it much, that he might be able to go out. And Jesus left that place. The Bible says and teaches us that he went that he might be able to go and proclaim the Word of God unto others. And we find that he had spent some time away on this preaching ministry, on this synagogue journey. And the Bible says that once again he entered into Capernaum. And the Bible says that it was noised that he was in the house. I believe that everybody that had ever heard of the name of Jesus in that little town by the name of Capernaum had heard that he could do great, miraculous things for an individual's life. And I'll tell you what, they had a great desire to be in the house. Now, many believe that this was Simon Peter's house. It does not say whose house that it is necessarily, but it's pretty good reason to say that it might be there. I'd say Jesus spent many days, many nights there in the house with Simon Peter and with Andrew. So the Bible says there that it was noised that he was in the house. I'll tell you what, let's ask ourselves, when's the last time that we noised the fact that Jesus was going to be in the house of God? When's the last time that we told somebody about what Jesus had done for us? Hey, I'll tell you what, that man that had the unclean spirit, that had been delivered, that had had the ability to once again be able to have a sane mind, had the ability to once again be able to live in normalcy. I believe everybody he came in contact with, he told them about what Jesus had done for him in his life. I believe Simon Peter's mother-in-law, every time she began to have a little bit of a fever rise up, I'd say, I know that there was a time in which Jesus healed me of my sickness. And she placed her faith and leaned her faith in that direction. And everybody she had an opportunity to serve, everybody she had an opportunity to tell, she told them of what Jesus had done for her. Hey, I'll tell you what, that leper that used to have to go around the outside of the camp and had to say unclean, unclean, and had to consider himself an outcast and had to isolate himself. Boy, hey, he's clean now. And he was able to enter in amongst the crowd and able to tell them everything in which Jesus had done for them. So we need to ask ourselves tonight, when's the last time we told somebody about what Jesus has done for us? When's the last time we allowed somebody to know that, hey, we're going to be gathering, we're going to be having church on Sunday morning, we're going to be having church on Sunday evening. Hey, we even gather in the midweek that we might come to God's house to give glory and honor and praise unto Him, because He's worthy tonight, amen. Hey, if He saved your soul and delivered you from a devil's hell, my friend, you need to tell somebody, amen. Hey, if He rescued you out of the muck and the mire and He set your feet upon a solid rock, you need to tell somebody about what Jesus has done for you. Hey, the Bible says that it was noised all around the land as to what that Jesus had done in that city of Capernaum. And the Bible says that He was in the house. Hey, I'll tell you what, if Jesus is in the house, hey, we ought to tell somebody, amen. And if Jesus resides in your heart, you need to tell somebody about what Christ has done for you. So the Bible says here that it was noised that He was in the house. And the Bible says in verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And He preached the Word unto them. Hey, we see first of all tonight the persistence of the crowd. Hey, I'll tell you what, they desired to get close to Jesus. Hey, they heard, hey, they're having service down there at Simon Peter's house. Hey, it might not even been announced. I'd say people just came. They say in that day and time that people would come. They didn't even have to be announced. Amen. Hey, they didn't even have to be invited. They just come. We know folks like that, don't we? They just drop by at the drop of the hat, whether you're prepared or not. Amen. I'll tell you what. Hey, the Bible tells us here that they came and they entered in the house and they just wanted to get close to the man that had the ability to do great works in people's lives. And the Bible says there that the persistence of the crowd was so great that they filled up the house. I believe if you could have been on the outside of that church or on the outside of that house, you probably would have been amazed to see. I'd say there's shoulder to shoulder. I'd say that there's elbow to elbow. I'd say that they could not even get a squeeze, a fly in there because there were so many people that was in the house. The Bible says there that they were pressed up there against the door. Hey, there was so much room in there There was no room, rather, to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. Hey, I tell you what, I bet they're still on the outside of the house. Amen. I remember hearing stories of revivals in days gone by when people would flood all the way around the outside of the church. Hey, they'd open the windows and let the preacher preach. And people came just to be able to hear the Word of God. Boy, we need that today. Amen. I believe we could have that if we'd noise about a little bit as to what Jesus has done for us. Evangelize and spread the gospel of the good news of Christ. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 2, it says, "And He preached the Word unto them." It doesn't say that they gathered for sandwiches. It doesn't say that they gathered to go to the water slide. It doesn't say that they gathered there to sing songs and to sing Kumbaya and Marsha and roast some marshmallows. No, my friend, it says that they came to hear the Word of God. Hey, I'll tell you what, good Christian fellowship is good. I love good Christian fellowship. I enjoy it when we gather ourselves together and we have a good time. But I want to tell you, my friend, that church does not need to be centered around a song. Church does not need to be centered around food. Hey, church needs to be centered around the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that's going to help you when you're in your valley. It's the Word of God that's going to help you when you're on your mountaintop. It's the Word of God that's going to help you when you're laid up sick in the hospital. It's the Word of God that's going to help you when you're laying a loved one to rest. Hey, I'm thankful, amen, for the Word of God. And the Bible says that Jesus preached the Word unto them. Boy, wouldn't it have been wonderful to be there? The greatest preacher that's ever preached, the man by the name of Jesus, was proclaiming, was sharing the good news of what that He came to do. And the Bible tells us there that there were so many people in there that they could not even get in. And the Bible says, "And they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore." So we find here that this tells us that there was a paralytic. It tells us there's somebody here that was paralyzed. Somebody here that was not able to tote themselves about. And the Bible says that he was born afore. That means that he was laid out on a mat. He was laid out in some fashion. Some believe that he might have been laid completely prostrate on his back or on his belly. Hey, he had no strength of his own. Had no ability to carry himself wherever he needed to go. And he was born of four. There's four individuals, four men maybe, that desired to bring this person unto Christ. Hey, they had heard what he had done for the man with the unclean spirit. Hey, they had heard what he had done for Simon's mother-in-law. Hey, he had heard about what he had done for the leper. And they said, "Boy, if you can just get to Jesus, you'll have legs to walk. If you can just get to Jesus, you can have arms to raise in holy adoration unto God. Hey, if you can just get to Jesus, everything's going to be all right." And my friend, they desired to take him to Jesus. I want to tell you tonight, there's somebody that you know and that does not know God, that does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and God's commissioned you to be the one to bring them unto God. God's commissioned you to be the one to share the gospel. Hey, you might not be able to witness, but you can drive a car and you can go and you can pick somebody up and bring them unto the house of God. You might not be able to witness, but you can give them a gospel track. Hey, you can tell them about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, the best thing you can do is just tell them what He did for you. Amen. Just tell them what He did for you. And the Bible says that these men began to take Him unto God. Hey, I want you to see the persistence of the crowd. Verse 4 says, "And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press," there's so many people around there, there's on the outside, there's filled up on the inside. And the Bible says there that when they saw the press and they could not come nigh unto Him, the Bible says they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Hey, them old boys was persistent, amen? Hey, I don't believe that whenever they stepped up there, they got ready to step up them steps on the outside of that house to go up on the veranda. That's what they call that on top of the house. They'd have a little porch, a little seating area on top of those houses there in those days. And it'd be covered with tile. And under that tile would be some tree branches and maybe some pitch and maybe some tar. Underneath that tile might be even some packed in with dirt, with mud. And then they'd lay those tiles on top of that up there on the veranda on the top of that house Well, I'd say that whenever them old boys got ready to step up on the step of that outside staircase, I bet they didn't say, "Well, I just don't know if I've got the courage to go and to take you to Jesus. I just don't know if I've got the boldness to go." There's a lot of people don't have the boldness to go and knocking on doors. There's some people don't have the boldness that could go to your neighbor that lives next door to you and ask them if they know Jesus. I'll tell you what, if you'll call upon God, He'll give you the strength, He'll give you the ability, He'll give you the faith. I believe these old four boys had faith. The Bible tells us there in verse number 5 when Jesus saw their faith. Hey, I'll tell you what, they believed that God could do a miracle, amen. They believed that Jesus could help this old boy that was sick of the palsy. And they went up there on that veranda. They got up there on top of that roof. They started busting up them tile. They started digging out them branches. They started moving away the rocks and the rubble. They started shifting through all that sod. Hey, they began to get down yard. Can you imagine what they was doing on the inside of the house? Can you just imagine if we was sitting here and we was hearing Jesus preach and the house was full and all of a sudden that sheetrock started breaking up. All of a sudden stuff started flying around as dust began to fall on Ronnie's hair and Sheila didn't know how he's ever going to get it out. And we begin to see things just begin to break up in the house. I'll tell you what, I believe people start to take notice, don't you? Hey, there was persistence within the crowd that was already within the house. But them old boys on the roof had persistence. Them old boys on the roof, they said, "Hey, we got to get into Jesus. He's the only one that can help him." They'd been to every doctor. They'd been to every one that might be able to help him. They found no cure. Hey, they'd been there. They'd run out the resources. And they could not find no help. But these old boys said, "If we can get him to Jesus, he'll be all right." And the Bible says there in verse number 4, "And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Hey, that boy's prostrate on a mat. And them old boys, they got him some rope and they tied it to each corner. And that boy that was born of four, that was carried by them four, they begin to let that mat down through that roof. And all of a sudden, he began to be lowered right down there, right before the Lord Jesus. I'd say there's even less room once they got in there, wasn't there? Because they had to get back. They had to move, and make room for that mat to be laid down right there in the floor. And all of a sudden, we see Jesus. And the Bible says there in verse number 5, "And Jesus saw their faith." Let me ask you, when's the last time somebody saw your faith? When's the last time they saw you so in love with God? They saw you so overhead, heels, in love with Jesus, that they knew that there was something greater within you than what's in this old lost and dying world. Hey, they said, "He acts different." They said, "She thinks different." Hey, there ain't no filth coming out of their mouth. They talk different. Hey, they're listening to Christian music. Hey, there's something different about that person. When's the last time somebody saw your faith? Hey, I need this tonight. When's the last time that somebody saw my faith? My friend, it's good to have a good checkup every now and again. Amen. Hey, I went to the dentist this morning, laid back there in that chair. She ran that needle or ran that scrapey thing across my teeth. Got myself all cleaned up. Hey, I had to go and get a good checkup. Hey, sometimes you need to come to Jesus and say, "God, look down in the depths of my heart and in the depths of my soul. Give me a checkup." Hey, these old boys had their faith checked up. The Bible says that Jesus saw their faith. So we see the persistence of the crowd. But my friend, we also see the pardon of the condition. Hey, there's only one that can pardon the condition this man was in. There was only one that could help the condition this old boy was in. Hey, there's only one that can help you tonight. Amen. His name ain't Jerry or Geraldo or Sally, Jesse. Hey, it sure ain't Oprah, amen. I'm here to tell you what, the only person that can help you and that can help me is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, the Bible says right here that when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, there's a lot of people that might be in that room, they begin to scratch their head real big then. And the Bible tells us that they were the scribes primarily, and those are the ones that knew the law. Those are the ones that knew the Word. Those are the ones that are supposed to know the ins and outs of the law. And the prophets, hey, they knew the Word of God, but they did not know God. Amen. There's a lot of people that know a lot about the Word of God, but they do not know God. And these old boys were sitting around there, and they begin to question themselves, and they begin to wonder, and they begin to think about what Jesus had just said. But I want to dwell upon what He did first and foremost. Amen. Hey, we see the pardon of the condition that this old boy was in. The Bible says right there that Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." I want you to recognize and realize tonight that there's something that we all have in common, and it ain't our hair, amen. Some of it's there and some of it ain't. Hey, there's something that all of us have in common, and it ain't the type of car we drive. There's something all of us have in common, and it might not be the clothes we wear or the shoes we wear, but I'll tell you what, we got one thing in common, and that's what the Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? Hey, each and every one of us have sin. That's the Adamic sin nature. That's because we're born in the flesh. That's because that we are human. And within us, from the day of conception, we were conceived in sin. And when we were born into this world, we had a desire and a longing to sin. Now, I don't know exactly what happened in this old boy's life right here. But some believe that whatever might have taken place in his life, it might have been sin that caused him to be paralyzed. It might have been sin that caused him to have the palsy. Now, I'll tell you, there's some people that are pretty persistent, and they think that every time you get in trouble, every time you might have an accident, every time you have a hardship, it's because there's sin in your life. I don't believe that way. I believe God sometimes allows us to walk through a valley that we might get our faith a little stronger. I believe sometimes God might allow us to have a sickness and that we might give glory and honor and praise unto Him because of how good that He is to us. I believe sometimes we have to go through them things, that God allows us to go through them things. I don't believe they're all a direct consequence of sin. But hey, this might have been the case. Hey, it might have been that he was a young teenager that had been raised in church and brought up in church and reared in a good godly family. But he'd gotten wayward. Hey, he'd gotten outside. He'd gotten in the wrong crowd. Might have got caught up in dope and alcohol. Might have had a bad car accident. And he wound up there on his back because of sin. Now, I'm not saying that's the case in every situation, but I'll tell you what, it ought to make us live closer to God. Amen? It ought to make us want to walk a little closer to God. Hey, the Bible says we ought to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Hey, you can't work to get it. You can't earn it. No way, fashion, or form. The Bible says it's by grace through faith that we are saved. But my friend, after we're saved, we need to show the world our faith. We need to show the world our forgiveness. We need to show the world that Jesus loves not only us, but He loves them too. And the Bible tells us here that Christ looked at him and He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God," amen, "is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Hey, He saw their faith. It's by grace through faith. If you're here tonight and you wonder how that you can be cleansed, just believe in Jesus. Just believe that He is born of a virgin, that He lived a spotless, sinless life, that He died upon Calvary. He hung between heaven and hell. He took your mockery. He took your beating of the cat of nine tails. He allowed His hands to be outstretched. He allowed them to be nailed to an old rugged cross. They placed His feet together and nailed Him there upon Calvary. And He died there for your sins and for my sins. And when the blood of Jesus is applied to your sins, when God allows your heart and He allows your life to be overshadowed by the blood of the Lamb, my friend, hey, there's atonement there. There's redemption there. There's forgiveness there. There's cleansing there. Amen. Hey, God's desire is that all should be saved. Amen. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto Him. All should believe in Him. Hey, we see the pardon of the condition. This old boy was a sinner, and Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," because He saw their faith. My friend, you can come, you can pray in this altar. I don't care how many times you come pray. If you don't place your faith and trust in Jesus, it won't do no good. You've got to trust in Christ. You've got to believe in Him and Him alone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Hey, there's no other name under heaven that's given whereby we must be saved. But praise God. I know a man who can tonight, don't you? And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says and teaches us, we see the persistence of the crowd. We see the pardon of the condition. But furthermore, we see the power of Christ. The Bible tells us there in verse 6, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. And they said, why did this man speak blasphemies? Why does this man speak vileness? Why does this man speak emptiness? Why does this man take the name of God in that way?" The Bible says, or they said, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" And I'll tell you what, Jesus right here, He's getting ready to prove His deity. He's getting ready to prove Himself as to whom that He is and where that He come from and what that He came to do and what that He has the ability to do. Amen. Hey, God is able. The Bible tells us that Christ is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we might ask or think tonight if you'll place your faith and trust in Him. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts. And I'll tell you what, I love you, church. And I don't know of anybody in particular that lines up with this, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of churches here tonight, or a lot of churches scattered across the land tonight, and they've got a bunch of old sour-faced individuals within that church. Hey, they've got those that grumble and those that gripe and those that complain. And whenever the Word of God is preached in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost, they curl their nose up and they wrinkle their brow because they don't like those types of things to go on. Hey, if it ain't their way, they don't want no part of it. Hey, there's some churches in which certain families run it. There's some churches in which certain individuals run it. Hey, there's some churches that fall in that way. And I want to tell you, they're not going to be blessed by God unless they allow themselves to come and kneel at His precious feet. My friend, the Bible tells us here, there's certain of them scribes sitting there, and they begin to reason in their hearts. They begin to grumble. They begin to complain. I'll tell you what, the first one to complain is usually the ones that's the slackest, the ones that's the laziest, and the ones that's the most guilty. Amen? Hey, we need not be able to be ones that grumble and complain. The Bible tells us here in verse number 8, "And immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit," whenever you perceive in His person. Now, that's the word pneuma in the Greek. And we see that Bible tells us there, when He perceived in His spirit. I was thinking about this riding down the road on the way here, Brother Andy. And you think about it, His spirit is so much more greater than our spirit. And His spirit is so much more powerful. And because He, at this time, had the Holy Ghost. Amen. Nobody else had the Holy Ghost of God. But my friend, today, if we're saved by grace through faith, we have that same Spirit dwelling within us. We have that same Holy Ghost dwelling within us, residing within us. Hey, our body is His tabernacle, His temple, in which that He dwells, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And the Bible tells us here that immediately when Jesus perceived in His Spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He began to speak. Hey, I'll tell you what. If you're close and walking close with God, you encounter somebody that's wicked and vile, Holy Ghost will check up inside of you and you won't bear witness with them. You won't have any common ground with them. Hey, Jesus realized, hey, there was somebody in the house that He did not have nothing in common with because they were going against the grain of God. And my friend, there may be somebody here tonight that is under conviction. And my friend, the only way that you can get in right standing with God is to accept the power in which Christ has. And that's the ability to save. Hey, He wants to pardon your condition tonight if you'll so let Him. Hey, the Bible tells us here in verse number 8 that whenever He reasoned that within Him, or whenever He perceived that in His spirit, that they so reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" Hey, God begins to question them. A lot of folks, whenever they come under conviction, first thing they want to do is run. First thing they want to do is push it off. Push Him away. That's what these old fellows was doing. I'll tell you what, don't push away Jesus. Amen. If Jesus is so kind tonight to come to knock on your heart, just open up the door and let Him in. Open up your mind and let Him in. Open up yourself and your soul and let Jesus in. The Bible says there that Christ said, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk'?" So He says, what would be easier to do? Would it be easier for me to just give you lip service and say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise and take up thy bed and walk"?
So he poses the question before them. He begins to present himself as deity. He begins to present himself as the only begotten of the Father. Hey, he begins to prove the fact that Joseph did not defile the body of Mary whenever she was pregnant with God within her womb. Hey, the Bible tells us here that he began to say these things. Is it easier for me to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. The Bible says there that Jesus posed the question. He presented himself as the Son of Man, as we looked at over in the book of Daniel, chapter number 7, verse 14 and 15. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 11, he spoke unto the sick of the palsy, and he said, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Now, I'll tell you what, if you're here tonight and you have a condition that's so overwhelming you, that condition of sin, that condition of waywardness, that condition of loneliness, that condition of solitude, you feel like there's nobody that cares about you, I want to tell you, there's one that does care. There's one that's wanting to make an impact in your life. And he's speaking unto you and he's saying, arise and take up that bed and walk. He's saying unto you, arise and come with faith unto me, believing and knowing that I can make a difference in your life. Arise from that place in which you're at. Hey, there's too many people that are too complacent for too long. Hey, we need to get up out of our steady old whiny condition and get at the feet of Jesus and call upon His sweet name that He might make an impact in our life, that others might be able to see our faith. Hey, sometimes we just need to arise and come unto Jesus. Hey, the Bible says there, He said unto him, I say, arise, take up thy bed and go thine way into thine house. And immediately, I'm talking about simultaneously, and that by word immediately means straightway. Hey, there wasn't no blink, there wasn't no pause, there wasn't no timeout. Hey, I thank God that wherever a person places their faith and trust in Jesus, simultaneously, instantly, they're birthed into the family of God. Their name's recorded down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if they're to die the next moment, they go to be with the Lord in heaven. Hey, I'll tell you what, that's the power of Jesus. That's the power of the Christ. Hey, the Bible says that immediately He arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. I'd say them boys that were sitting there a little while ago with that scowl on their brow, that one that was complaining and grumbling, I'd say their mouth was open wide. I'd say they were astonished. I'd say that they were taking a step back. I'd say that they were standing there and just wondering what in the world just took place. And the Bible says there they stood there and they were amazed. But I'll tell you what, everybody else in the house, I'd say, began to lift up holy hands. And they begin to give glory unto God. They begin to give thanks unto Jesus. They begin to realize, hey, this man is the Christ. Hey, we've been hearing His message. We've been looking at His ministry. But now we know that He is the Messiah that's been sent from God above to bring spiritual salvation unto those that might call upon His name and to give abundant life unto them. Hey, I'm glad I'm saved tonight, aren't you? Hey, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that are happy in a bar. There's a lot of people that might be strung out on dope. And they think that's the greatest thing going. Hey, I'll tell you what, the best thing we can do is to place our faith in the finished work of Jesus. And when He calls upon us, hey, we need to arise. We need to stand for Him. Need to uplift His name and magnify what He's done for us in our life. The Bible says they were all amazed. Glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Hey, I'll tell you what, God began to do a new work, amen? Hey, He began to do things that nobody else had ever seen done. And that's exactly what God wants to do in our lives, I believe. God wants to do something great in our homes. God wants to do something great in our families. I'll tell you what, we need to have a burden for the family in the day and time in which we live, amen? Hey, we need to have a burden for the family, the man and the woman and the children that are striving to stand together in such a wicked day in which we live, because it's not the norm. Hey, we need to stand together. We need to stand together as a church upon the foundation of the finished work of Jesus Christ and believe this Bible that brings us the blessed hope to know that Jesus is one day going to come. My friend, wherever He comes in clouds of glory, when He comes and breaks forth that eastern sky, will He look down and will He see your faith? Will He see your trust? Will He see your belief? What does Jesus see right now? I'll tell you what, God knows, amen. He knows everything about us. Does He see your faith? Did He see your faith today? Did He see your faith yesterday? Furthermore, is He going to see your faith tomorrow? Somebody might need to come tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed.